KJAN Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 20 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly to mostly sunny today, a high around 23. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this hour, a former Western Iowa woman found guilty of first-degree murder in the 2001 shooting death of her 20-year-old neighbor is scheduled to be sentenced today in Webster County District Court. A jury found 45-year-old Tracy Richter of Omaha guilty of killing Dustin Weedy, or Weedy that is, at her home, her former home in Early. That was to quiet him in a convoluted plot to kill her husband. The jury returned its verdict on November the 7th following a trial in Fort Dodge. Richter had claimed that she killed Weedy in self-defense during a home invasion, but prosecutors said there was no home invasion and that Richter lured Weedy to her house in Early and had him write a notebook that her ex-husband had hired him to kill her and their son and then shot him to keep him quiet. Richter faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison without parole. News time is 8:01.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Ricky, what in the world are you doing?
Crystal, I'm getting ready for tailgate season by combining two of America's pastimes, country music and football. I just wish there was a way I could conveniently take my TV with me while tailgating.
I can't help you with your singing, but I do have a solution for your TV issue. With Dish Network's Tailgater, a portable, fully automatic HD antenna which allows you to be watching the pregame show within minutes of pulling into the parking lot, with no alignment necessary. All you need is the Tailgater with the appropriate receiver, and you'll be the go-to person for all the highlights on game day.
That's exactly what I need, so I'll be the man on game day.
Now, Ricky, there's only one place this season to get a Dish Network for your home and the Tailgater for your RV. At the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer, 907 East 7th Street, Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or check us out on Facebook.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
Sheriff's officials in Montgomery County say a Council Bluffs man was arrested Sunday evening on a bench warrant for violation of his probation. 52-year-old Richard Roland Rose Jr. was taken into custody at around 5:15 p.m. and he was being held this morning in the Montgomery County Jail on $2,000 bond. The Carroll County attorney says a Carroll woman was sentenced to prison this past week, nearly 14 months after bringing her 9-month-old infant to a local hospital with several bone fractures and multiple stages of healing. Attorney John Warden told the Omaha World-Herald 21-year-old Jasmine T. Scott faces up to 10 years in prison on two counts of child endangerment causing serious injury to which she had previously pleaded guilty. Warden said Scott was pregnant with her third child when she brought the infant, her second, to the hospital. He wouldn't specify the two children's genders or other information, but he added that they have since been placed in foster care. Warden said they waited until she had the baby before charging the woman and then took her newborn into foster care. According to court documents, Scott's first child, quote, died in circumstances of inadequate medical care. A jury in Pottawatomie County deliberated for more than 10 hours Friday, but ultimately handed down a guilty verdict against a man accused of sexually abusing a child. The trial of 47-year-old Martin Hyatt from Carter Lake lasted only 2 days. Hyatt was charged with 5 counts of second-degree sexual abuse and 4 counts of indecent contact with a child. He was found guilty on 3 of the second-degree sexual abuse counts and all 4 counts of indecent contact. Second-degree sexual abuse is a Class B felony and carries a mandatory prison sentence of 25 years. Because the crime is a forcible felony, 70% of the sentence, or 17 and a half years, must be served before Hyatt will be eligible for parole. He is scheduled to be sentenced March the 7th. Assistant Pottawatomie County Attorney Dan McGinn said that the encounters occurred with the child over a 4-year period between 2007 and February of this year. The child, who was not identified because of her age, testified that Hyatt did bad things to her, including touching her thigh, breasts, and buttocks. The girl said that Hyatt touched her inappropriately on more than 50 occasions. A kindergartner at a Council Bluffs school tested positive last week for meningitis. Longfellow Elementary spokeswoman Diane Ostrowski said the girl felt ill when she came to school Wednesday and was soon sent home. Council Bluffs Health Department Director Don Dirks said the families of students in the girl's class were notified Friday by letter after tests confirmed she had meningitis. Dirks said the illness isn't highly contagious, but parents were urged to seek antibiotics from their doctors. Symptoms of meningitis include high fever, headaches, vomiting, and a stiff neck, and if untreated, it can cause death. The school has since been cleaned to limit any further illnesses. Members of the CAM Community School District's Board of Education will hold a special meeting this evening in Oneida, and during that 7 p.m. session in the Media Center at the CAM High School, the board will discuss matters pertaining to an online charter school. No action is expected to be taken on the issue. A webinar offered to farmers in five states will explain what government resources are available to help them recover from Missouri River flooding. The December 14th webinar will feature two producers who are repairing their farmland and representatives from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The information will be available at 20 sites in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Dakota. For a list of locations, you can go to the website http://flood.unl.edu/crops. The webinar is sponsored by the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and the Iowa State Extension offices, and it's the second in a series. The Corps released massive amounts of water from the dams along the Missouri River this year to deal with heavy rains and above-average snowmelt, causing record flooding in several states. Detectives of the Council Bluffs Police Department are making routine checks of various scrap yards looking for items of metal which were stolen and may have been unwittingly purchased by the scrapyard operators. Every Friday, Detective Joe Hothersall of the Council Bluffs Police Department stops by those yards and picks up stacks of cards with the identification information and fingerprints of those who that week sold metals to the scrapyard. Hothersall makes sure the cards are filled out correctly, and the owners tell him if anyone has dropped off anything suspicious. Police on both sides of the Missouri River say that most companies are eager to cooperate. Most of the scrapyard owners don't mind the checks because they don't want to buy stolen scrap metal, a crime which has grown immensely over the past few years. Thefts of copper have been most prominent. A typical air conditioner, according to Hothersall, has about $60 worth of copper inside that can be ripped out and sold for scrap. Omaha and Council Bluffs both have ordinances mandating that recyclers document those who sell them metals. There is interest in both the Iowa legislature and on the Pottawatomie County Board of Supervisors to require the same thing. Iowa Representative Claude Bodler, a Republican from Greenfield, said such a measure will likely be introduced early in the 2012 session. Bodler, a former state trooper, told the Omaha World-Herald the thieves will absolutely steal anything. He says, "I assume there would be several sponsors, including himself, of the bill, that is. Nebraska already has a statewide law, although it may be strengthened this year with a bill to specifically outlaw the sales of sewer grates and manhole covers, which have also been an issue that have popped up in the Omaha and Council Bluffs area." Lauren Knaus, a member of the Pottawatomie County Board of Supervisors and former police officer, said there is an interest in passing a countywide ordinance similar to the city ordinance that requires the documentation of sellers. The board members have considered such a measure in the past. Elsewhere in state news, new data shows that the University of Iowa office succeeds in resolving workplace bullying complaints in only one out of every eight cases. Data released to an Iowa city lawyer and shared with the Associated Press shows the Office of the Ombudsperson resolved 8 of 63 bullying complaints brought by students, faculty, and staff between January of 2010 and October of this year. The office failed to resolve 13 complaints, and the outcome was listed as unknown in most of the other cases. The university at first refused to release the data to attorney Andrew Hosmanek, but relented after he threatened to bring a lawsuit for open records violations. University spokesman Tom Moore calls bullying one of the most intractable problems, and he said there are many reasons why cases aren't resolved. And a Marine has returned home to Orange City to recover from injuries he suffered when a bomb went off in Afghanistan. Lance Corporal Alex Nguyen suffered a shattered ankle and foot as he was trying to detonate a roadside bomb in late September. He spent the past 2 months at a hospital in Virginia. Nguyen returned home on Thursday. He was 7 months into an 8-month deployment when he was hurt. He says he'd like to continue to serve in the Marines or, as an alternative, work for the government or help other amputees in their recovery. Taking a look at national news headlines of this hour, the cash-strapped U.S. Postal Service will be outlining this morning what services people will paying more for and get less of. The Postal Service already announced that it's increasing the cost of its first-class mail from 44 to 45 cents beginning January 22nd. Now it plans to slow first-class delivery, and for the first time in 40 years, there will be no chance of a stamped letter arriving the next day. A New Jersey man charged with killing his 2-year-old daughter and leaving her in a creek while still in her car seat is due in a New Jersey courtroom this afternoon. Arthur Morgan III was arrested last week in San Diego and agreed to return to his home state to stand trial for his daughter's murder, which happened during a court-ordered visit. And a new study says that teen sexting is not as common as people think. A study by a researcher at the University of New Hampshire says only 1% of kids ages 10 to 17 have texted graphic images. The research also suggests that texting graphic photos is more common among older teens than younger kids. News time is 8:10.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store, 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
In our funeral announcements, Betty Mader, age 81, of Creston, died Wednesday at the Greater Regional Hospice Home in Creston. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Betty Mader will be today at 10 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Jeanette Thompson, age 90, of Avoca, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Jeanette Thompson will be held today at 10:30 at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Ava Ferguson, age 91, of Stanton and formerly of Red Oak, died Wednesday at the Stanton Care Center. Funeral services for Ava Ferguson will be held today at 1 o'clock at the Sellergren Lindell DeMars Funeral Home in Red Oak. Leo Jacobson, age 72, of Walnut, died Friday at his home. Funeral services for Leo Jacobson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. George Mathiason, age 94, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Funeral services for George Mathiason will be held Tuesday at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 95-year-old Lola McLaren of Cumberland died Tuesday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Funeral services for Lola McLaren will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Pine Grove United Methodist Church in rural Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina is in charge of the arrangements. Marilyn Ann Warner, age 76, of Casey, died Friday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Memorial services for Marilyn Warner will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. John's Lutheran Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Robert S. Croman, age 92, of Elkhorn, died Saturday in Harlan. Memorial services for Robert Croman will be held on Thursday at 10:30 at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. And 72-year-old Bobby Eugene Huebner of rural Lewis died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Services for Bobby Huebner are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.